This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Oanda Senior Market Analyst in Singapore. It's Kelvin Wong. Kelvin, good morning from London. Good afternoon to you.
Good morning to you, Johnny, and good afternoon over at my end.
Now, let's first get the latest from you in terms of Asia-Pacific markets. And I think after that loss of the perfect credit rating for the United States, we saw a lowering from a AAA to a AA1 from Moody's, who have expressed concern over the US government's ability to pay back its debt. That has had an effect on markets, hasn't it? Because a AAA rating signifies a country's highest possible credit reliability and indicates it's in pretty good financial health. But after that from Moody's, it's all change.
Precisely. So what we could see over here is, we need to take into context also of the current situation right now, the current macro landscape in the global markets. So we do understand that, previously the previous downgrade was in 2011 from S&P. Then thereafter, we have the Fitch ratings. At that point in time, the macro environment still remains rather healthy. So that doesn't really cause persistent negative reaction on US asset at that point in time in 2011. And the major US stock indices continue to rally, and we start to see the dollar continues to gain on a firm footing as well. But however, in today's context, it's slightly different because this latest downgrade from Moody's rating on last Friday came on top of this uncertainty surrounding, number one, the way US White House administration does their business versus 2011 ago, where we start to see a lot of haphazard way of doing things in terms of, number one, the trade tariffs negotiation will be one of them. One example, I would say that on last Friday, where US President Trump has publicly made an announcement stating that at this point in time, there are too many countries lining up to actually have this kind of trade talks with the respective US officials. And due to this, too many countries lining up, Trump actually made an announcement yesterday saying that for those countries that he don't deem as key trading partners, he will actually set tariff rates in the next 2 to 3 weeks due to the lack of capacity to do one-on-one negotiation deals with these countries that are lining up in the queue. All right, so that actually also pretty much a spook market as well, where potentially there could be another, we call it Trump starts to say that, hey, these countries who are not in my favorite list to actually negotiate will have a higher tariff rate. But nevertheless, he stated that he kind of opened the door for an appeal process. But how this appeal process will be, there's still lack of details coming into the play. So because of this current context or uncertainty due to the way US is doing its business versus the rest of the world, and also don't forget the lack of fiscal policy discipline where Trump inspired to actually have this tremendous amount of tax cuts, but using trade tariffs to actually pay for that shortfall, that doesn't gel well to in terms of market participants' expectation on how US will be able to balance its fiscal books. So with that Moody ratings downgrade, that created a negative feedback loop into US assets, where we start to see the S&P E-mini futures and the NASDAQ E-mini futures, both of them are down by negative 1.3% to negative 1.7% as we are speaking right now. And also the dollar also saw a sell-off as we are speaking as well, with for sure the European market just kick-started. So the euro is gaining almost 1%, not back down the line. The sterling dollar is gaining, the sterling is gaining 0.8% against the dollar, and the safe haven currency, yen, is gaining 0.6% against the dollar.
And Kelvin, talking of safe haven, with all this concern over the US economy, that's had an effect on gold, and I would imagine the gold price has gone up because of that.
Yes, precisely. So interestingly, we start to see this kind of buy on dips price action coming into gold since last Thursday, where interestingly, that 10% decline since 22nd of April, all-time high of 3,500 for spot gold, that is XAU/USD, managed to find support at the rising 50-day moving average, which is acting as an intermediate support level at 3,130, and we start to see a bullish pressure on last Friday after a retest at the 50-day moving average, and starts to form a higher low at the 50-day moving average, and right now is gaining 1%, which short-term momentum indicator like the 4-hour RSI is actually showing a bullish momentum condition. So next up for gold, the next key technical level to watch will be the 3,305 intermediate resistance, which is the 20-day moving average. And if we could have a daily close above 3,305, that would suggest that the corrective decline, or that 10% corrective decline from 22nd of April all-time high may have ended, and gold may kickstart another round of potential medium-term impulsive up-move sequence.
So what about where you are as far as the Asian markets are concerned? How have they started the week, Kelvin?
So I would say that the major Asia stock indices is rather a mix for today. So yes, we have the Nikkei 225 is down by negative 0.7%. So that's pretty much in line with the week opening from the two S&P 500 e-mini futures and the Nasdaq 100 e-mini futures having that negative feedback loop on towards the Nikkei 225. And don't forget, the Nikkei 225 has also a indirect correlation with the yen strengthening. So right now, if we start to see a yen strengthen against the dollar, we may start to see this negative feedback loop in the short term being a whip flash back being what we call trigger back into the Nikkei 225. But what's interesting over here is that the Hang Seng indices, which is kind of representing the China stock market economy, put away for international investors. Yes, in today's Asia session at the opening, it opened a weaker in line with the Nikkei 225, where it actually has a intraday loss of almost 0.8%. But thereafter, as the Asia session gets underway, it managed to almost erase today's intraday loss of 0.8%. That's the Hang Seng Index, and close almost unchanged today. So it seems to us that right now there's this rotation play that is still ongoing. That means we start to see this weakness on the major US stock indices, driven by the weakness in US dollar. There's this indirect correlation where the Hang Seng Index may starts to actually outperform against the major US stock indices. And it's a very interesting development, and we shall see how this Hang Seng Index perform throughout this week.
Now, talking of this week, Kelvin, over here in the UK, I suppose our most important bit of data coming through will be the latest inflation number, the UK CPI, and it's expected that we are going to see quite a rise, much higher than the target of 2% from the Bank of England. People are talking about 3.6%, something like that.
Yes, precisely. So market participants will be paying very much close attention to the core inflation rate, where it's expecting to actually go up by 2 basis points higher to 3.6% year-on-year basis from 3.4% in the month of March. So if it starts to meterize as expected or even higher to about 3.7 to 3.8%, that could potentially lead to a strengthening of the sterling against the dollar, given that the sterling has started on the positive footing this week due to the negative spillover impact from the Moody's rating downgrade on US sovereign debt we have discussed earlier. And also, do not forget, last week, Bank of England meeting is rather much of a not really a dovish kind of guidance, but rather a mixed guidance where BOE officials keep on stressing that they need to be data dependent to actually guide them in their next potential interest rate cut. So given that if the core inflation rate continues to remain stubborn on the upside, very likely the next monetary policy meeting guidance will be much more of a dovish hole, and very likely that the Bank of England should potentially keep rates unchanged in the next meeting.
And what else should we look out for in the next few days, Kelvin?
So the next few days, there are things coming out will be over in Asia. We have RBA interest rate decision, which is out tomorrow. So that market is really pricing a 25 basis point cut for that will be the second interest rate cut this year for RBA. And we know that RBA is the one that is kind of stubbornly cautious in terms of their interest rate decision. So market participants will be paying close attention to the press conference thereafter by RBA Governor Bullock. So very likely she may continue to play in the cautious mode, a wait and see approach or data dependent situation, implying that yes, despite tomorrow, if RBA does a 25 basis cut within market expectation, that doesn't really lead to the start of a persistent interest rate cut cycle like ECB. And on Thursday is PMI day. So Thursday, we start to see a slew of preliminary PMI releases across the globe, starting from Australia, Eurozone, UK, and as well as US. So that will be for the month of May. So that could potentially start to see market participants to gauge how does the 10% based US-based tariff has an impact on this tier one leading economic data. And to sum it up, on Friday, we do have a Japanese core inflation, the nationwide inflation that is up on Friday. So that is will be at 7:30 a.m. Singapore time. So market participants will be paying close attention to the core rate, which is excluding food and energy, where the consensus is still expecting it to be on the firm rate of 2.9% year on year for the month of April.
Kelvin, thank you very much indeed. We'll speak to you soon.
My pleasure, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.